Welcome back to Technotopia, the podcast about a better future. I'm John Biggs. Today on the show, we have Kate Fizzini. She's an author. We apologize for the audio quality of this week's show. We will fix it next week. This is Technotopia. Technotopia is also sponsored by CheapTranscription.io. CheapTranscription offers 10 cents per minute transcriptions using our happy robots or 85 cents per minute using our human assistants. CheapTranscription.io is cheaper and faster than everyone else. CheapTranscription.io.
Welcome back to Technotopia, the podcast about a better future. I'm John Biggs. Today on the show, we have Kate Fizzini. She's a reporter on cybersecurity. And you just recently wrote a book, The Kingdom of Lies, Unearthing Adventures in the World of Cybercrime. I was fairly excited about this title because it's I like unnerving adventures. Welcome.
Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, so tell me about the book. Tell me what you tell me what the who are these unnerving adventurers?
So I had a number of people who I wanted to feature, and I centered the book around four individuals who some of them are cyber criminals, some of them are defenders, and some of them are kind of ambiguous. And certainly all of them skate the line between good and bad. And my purpose was just to put them under the microscope and see what we can understand about security better by understanding the people involved in it.
Okay. So So that's interesting. There have been a few books like this. I distinctly remember like Hackers and Cuckoo's mm-hmm. Egg and everything. And these come out every couple years. What's special about this era? What's special about these hackers in this era that maybe we might have not seen before?
So I think one of the main storylines that people always kind of glom onto is this woman who I call Renee, who is she kind of starts as a teenager in Romania who doesn't have very much technical expertise at all. In fact, she kind of hates computers. And she takes a job interview for what she believes to be a startup in her hometown that actually turns out to be a cyber criminal ring. And her hometown, she discovers, is home to many of these. And this is sort of a trend going on across Eastern Europe. But what is really interesting is this rise of the unskilled worker in cybersecurity, and certainly on the criminal side. So she comes into this with no skills. She does have some skills for customer service, which is what she's hired to do. She ends up on the other end of these calls with companies that have been the victims of ransomware, and she just sort of takes it from there. She uses her marketing skills, brings in, helps this criminal group bring in a lot more money than they were before, and then kind of finds herself in a little bit too deep and has to try to get out. And it was just a really compelling story. I think it was a story that a lot of people could relate to. And I wanted to give people a chance to approach the topic from that area of understanding. Like, I was a dumb teenager once. I did a lot of stupid things. I may have even, come close to getting arrested for them, or some of those things might have been illegal. And it's really not that different from a lot of people's stories. And so I think that's what makes it different. We're talking about people who a lot of different people can relate to. The Cuckoo's Egg is one of my favorite books of all time. Mm-hmm. But you're talking about some people with some very heavy technical expertise. And it's a very interesting mystery story. This is, people from all walks of life who stumble into this. I think I wanted to make it more interesting to people that way.
Yeah, that's fascinating. I think about the Cuckoo's Egg, and the Cuckoo's Egg, if you haven't read it, you should take a look at it. Clifford Stoll wrote this book about, he was one of the first proto internet engineer guys. He was a physicist at Berkeley, and then he discovered a hacker in his systems, but all the expertise required for that hacker to get in from place to place would now be considered kind of normal, but back then that was PhD level stuff that he was doing. Mm-hmm. But it's funny that you're mentioning a hacker who's basically entry level. It's like mm-hmm. it's like amateur, not even to the point of learning. You just basically just show up and do your job.
Right, exactly. And these organizations that are that are doing a lot of the cybercrime against us, whether it's fraud, whether it's ransomware, even if it's nation state sponsored, they look like businesses. They have CEOs. They have customer service reps who will get on the phone with you and help you procure Bitcoin if you've never done that before. They have HR departments. They have people who do hiring, go on the dark web and find partnerships. I want to really highlight to people that, you know, the days of Cliff Stoll, where you had this East German enemy, and it was just this very, like, sort of, you know, pseudo-militarized, you know, it's happening at a university, but there's these huge military implications to what's happening, is kind of over. And mm-hmm. we're now at a point where we're just up against other businesses who are running like businesses, and frankly, they're a lot more agile than we are. We might even have something to learn from them.
Do these companies start out as, like, I mean, do you sit down and do your business plan and, like, we're extortion for hire? I mean, or were you talk to any of these guys?
Oh, yeah. So in the case of the I'm doing air quotes on the War podcast, the company or the criminal organization that Renee gets involved in, they actually pivot a few times from originally doing ransomware and then figuring out they can make more money by just extorting people. So stealing their secrets and then saying, I'm going to release them for a really huge sum of money. And I think that the lesson there is that you have these groups that they might start out that way. Some are more organized than others. Some, you know, they help collect individuals together, but they are able to go into whatever line of work it is that is the most lucrative at the time. So if it's ransomware, that's one thing. If it's bank trojans, then, you know, they can pivot, they can go there. If it's DDoS attacks for hire, they can sort of reform with other people and do those types of attacks. So one of the interesting things I heard recently from a researcher was that some of these groups are becoming so large and sprawling that they've actually become sort of too big to fail. Mm-hmm. And you have, they become much easier to find than the groups that are more agile, which I think is an important lesson. So you even have cybercrime rings that are just becoming too bureaucratic and too obvious.
And do they ever end up hacking themselves? That sounds like a.
they absolutely do. They actually, you know, I think that it's sort of a different version of the Silicon Valley sniping that goes on between mm-hmm. startups sometimes. But I've seen examples of. So a distributed denial of service attack, I'm sure your listeners know, a DDoS attack is when, you know, a criminal overflows the information going in to your company and crashes your mm-hmm. website. So there's been a surge of these DDoS for hire functions, where you can hire somebody to do this against an enemy. And we see those factions actually fighting against each other now, where one of them will try to take over the compromised computers of another to not only have more compromised computers, but to give you know, the competition kind of the middle finger, which I think is really interesting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is fascinating. So what's the what's next for this kind of stuff? It's not nation states fighting nation states anymore. It's mm-hmm. Joe's computer hacking versus the Romanian hacking group or whatever.
Right. And you also have this combination of in countries, especially Russia is the perfect example of this, where, and I do talk about this in the book, the government of Russia is very comfortable working alongside criminals. So they find that a criminal is doing very well. They might say, hey, come and do some stuff for the FSB and you're not going to get in any trouble for what you've been doing. They have no problem with that. You know, in the United States, we're very different. We're not going to typically make, you won't see the FBI asking cyber criminals to join their ranks. Mm-hmm. But that's one trend that I expect to continue. I'm really interested to see what happens with Facebook's cryptocurrency, which came out today. I think there's a lot of opportunity there for new kinds of fraud. I think it's also, you know, a new opportunity for something that's maybe more secure than the types of financial transactions that we've been doing today. But I expect that the rise of that cryptocurrency will spur a lot of really interesting criminal innovation.
Yeah, that's interesting. Everybody here is saying, okay, this is a big deal because it's going to help the unbanked. It's going to save people's lives, et cetera. And you're saying it's just going to be a little bit easier for criminals to ask grandma for a gift card, which is
I'm not discounting. I know that we're focused on the, you know, bright, shining future of technology. And I don't want to discount the good that something like this can do for the unbanked or for people who don't have access to savings. And certainly people who are paying really high fees for some of these transactions. But it is going to create a sprawl of, you know, one type of platform that will lend itself to a great deal, I think, more activity on the criminal side, especially since you'll have a lot of people who aren't accustomed to even the wire transfer process, where, you know, wire transfer fraud, huge problem in the United States. Sure. And they might not be ready for what one of these scams looks like and how good they are. And I think that you will see criminals trying to take advantage of that with tons of new people coming online.
That's going to be interesting. As you went through the research, did you meet any promising anti-hacker fighters?
Oh yes, and I do discuss that. Yeah, absolutely. And actually, you know, some of the people who are on the bad side of things kind of take their skills and go fight for the good guys eventually, which I think is a positive message. Maybe some people might not think so, but I do. And there are a great many people coming up out of the military and out of universities who are really good at cybersecurity. We certainly need to see maybe a little more innovation as far as how we're hiring these professionals. But I've personally seen some really wonderful cyber defenders in action. And it's amazing how I think people would be surprised that you can have a really huge attack and there's really only a handful of people with the skill set to fight back against it. I think that's something that we need to work on in the U.S., getting a better education, helping people get to that level. Mm-hmm.
What does an attack like that look like? Does it look like in the movies where like somebody has to type in a Python program in 15 seconds and then fights off the squids or whatever?
I think it's like that. It's often much longer than that. So the really sophisticated attacks that we see, like let's say at a major financial institution, involve, like let's say you have a tripwire set up so that if somebody intrudes into your network and they're taking bits of information back from it, there's a certain level that under that, you're not going to see an alarm. And what we often see is that some of the really good attacks are intruders coming in and taking information for months at a time just underneath that level. So, mm-hmm. you know, you might have a really wide range of people working on the same issue, but it is to their benefit to not kind of do the crash and burn type attack that you might see in the movies. They want to be on your network for a long time and just siphon off data little by little. That can become an enormous amount, terabytes of information.
What can the average person do to protect themselves now?
I think there's a couple of things. Despite the fact that we have these huge news stories about cybersecurity, whether it's the elections hacking or some of the big nation state stuff with Russia and the energy grid, it all comes down to really simple things like passwords. and making sure that you have multi-factor authentication. These are really simple kind of steps. I think one of the pieces of advice I give to people a lot, and some people don't love it, is just to sort of respect yourself more when it comes to social media. A lot of the attacks that we see rely on the information that people put out there freely. Mm-hmm. And so positioning yourself the way that you want to is going to be increasingly important. And I think a lot of people say privacy doesn't exist anymore, or they're not worried about it. But I just encourage people to worry about it, to worry about how much information you put out there, and just think about it a little bit before it gets out into the public sphere.
Yeah, I mean, I've always been saying that everybody's going to be naked on the internet for 15 minutes in the future.
I've taken off
all my photos, and I try not to put personal stuff onto social media anymore, because it's basically not a place for it. I can, if I sit down at a bar and hang out, we can talk about personal mm-hmm. issues. But if I want to post it on Facebook, I know that tomorrow's Facebook post is only read by robots and hackers.
Mm-hmm. Right. And I think I've had some people ask me, you know, how did I carry on conversations with some of the people in the book? And often it was just in person, which is interesting given the subject matter, I think. Mm-hmm. But in-person conversations, it's almost like this kind of currency of the future, where so much of what happens on social media is just not real, and it's triggered by, you know, an algorithm that favors everybody being disgruntled with one another. I think it's great to just unplug and, you know, get to know somebody one-on-one. It's maybe that's our future, that will be
yeah, maybe that's
a valuable thing.
Did you notice yourself being targeted at all when you were being did you notice more hacks, or did it feel pretty normal?
You mean when I was writing the book? I don't think anybody knew I was writing it, so that was probably good. But when I transitioned, so I worked in cybersecurity for a long time. I worked in the cybersecurity organization at JP Morgan Chase, and then for a consulting firm. And then I went on to be a journalist. And after, I wasn't ready for becoming a journalist and then having my name be out there as a cybersecurity reporter. I started at the Wall Street Journal, and I did then receive a lot of kind of threats or people trying to plug their expertise or their product by attempting to hack me or hack the organization I worked for and, you know, report it back to me. That's been kind of an interesting experience, one that I'm not particularly loving, but nonetheless, it's certainly instructive.
All right. And so let's go back. Let's take a look at the book, The Kingdom of Lies, Unnerving Adventures in the World of Cybercrime. This is out now, right? Or are we waiting for a
minute?
Yes.
It came out June 11th. Yeah.
June 11th. All right. Perfect. I'll go grab a copy for my kids. They always enjoy the cybercrime stuff. And Clifford Stoll, probably one of our favorites.
Excellent.
All right. Kate Vizzini, thank you for joining us on Technotopia. This has been a real treat. I'll try to keep safe.
Okay. Thank you, John. Take care.
All right. Thank you.
Technotopia is brought to you by Happy Fun Corp. Happy Fun Corp is a design-driven technology company in Brooklyn, New York that specializes in building mobile and web applications for startups and Fortune 500 companies. Whether it's a new mobile or web application that will help people experience the internet in a fun new way, or software that will interface with a new piece of top-secret hardware, Happy Fun Corp is always up to the challenge. Big or small, Happy Fun Corp loves building software and loves working with great people. Come build with them. HappyFunCorp.com.